Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the day is dark and cloudy and quite cold. If you looked at the Masters and saw the azaleas and the dogwoods in full bloom with people in T-shirts enjoying a magnificent spring day, that was on Sunday. It's back to Minneapolis weather on Tuesday. C'est la vie. This is the world that we live in. I've got Robert on the line today, and we haven't had the pleasure of having him for a while. So let me just say, Robert, how are you today? Stacy, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, I had Robert right there, and
I'm here.
Robert, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Well, yeah, I'm so glad to talk to you. We haven't had our little radio show here where we set the world straight in about a month.
Yeah, it got out of control on us, didn't it?
Oh, my goodness. And, life is interesting. I was thinking today, if there was something about the Lord that I would like to change,
yeah,
I know what it would be. I know that's not a good place to be, but I'm a human being, and we're like that. And here's the part that I would like to change. That part about 1,000 years is as a day to the Lord.
Yeah.
He never seems to be in any kind of hurry where we're concerned, and I would like for him to just spend a little more time on our case. What do you think?
Yeah, he actually is. You know, let me give you an example. I've had this business deal that's been hanging out for, seems like forever and ever, right? And the guy who is on the other end of it has just been lying and lying and lying, right? And that's sort of aggravating to have that take place. But at the end of the day, it now appears as though there's someone else who's quite willing to take his place and to provide much more revenue to the group than he was. So, you know, sometimes when God delays us, it's to give us something better because we were really willing to sell for something much less.
Oh, do I ever understand that? And I suspect that the people out there, and particularly our middle-aged single friends, which is really the bulk of our audience, are the ones that see this the most acutely, that are kind of like, you know, I've been hanging on after, you know, having a bad relationship, hanging on for Mr. Right or as close to Mr. Right as I can find, and I've got Mr. Maybe right around the corner. Can I make Mr. Maybe into Mr. Pretty Good, and I'll settle for that? And, of course, the answer is from, you know, if somebody's really seeking God's will, it's almost always ixnay. But that isn't the way – that isn't what they want to hear.
Well, you know, Jack, the one thing they ought to think about is maybe they'll be single the rest of their life.
That's not the answer that they want to hear, I promise you. But, you know, it's... Just quite honestly, it's much better to be alone and single than to be in a marriage where you were all alone and there's almost no relationship, because that is as bad as it just about gets when it comes to relational things. At least if you're single and by yourself, you don't have somebody, just constantly telling you that you need to do this, you need to be like that, and why can't you be like so-and-so? And you don't make as much money as, my three best girlfriends' husbands, and things of that nature, which really are not very good. Okay, so this back to what you were saying about earlier. So you know, you're ready to go with something that you know where it wasn't going to be. The further you got into it, it was like, you know, taking a swing at Tar Baby, and you just get deeper and deeper, and you can't get out. And it's like, I know this isn't, there's things that aren't right. And then all of a sudden, from a source that you didn't know was even there, something better comes along. Now, Robert, my time of being a believer, that's when it comes from a direction that you never even considered, that's almost always what the Lord has in mind. That's just my experience. I mean, there's times I'm sure that it isn't true, but it certainly seems like that's kind of the way that goes. What do you think?
Well, you know, first of all, when you get focused on something, shall we say, temporal and down here, and you're just focused like crazy on it, even if you get it, it's not going to be all that great, all right? Because nothing really ever is, all right? And somehow we have this theory that we can encounter something in this life that will make the rest of our life just wonderful, 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 all right? And all it does is just disappoint the fool out of us, all right? And so I've just found that, and I will have to tell you, this is a late in life discovery, to rest in the Lord and just watch Him work. And really, the worst things get, I remember I was coming back to, hold on 1 second. Let me put you on hold if it's okay, Jack. Just one second.
All right, go
okay?
ahead. And while he does my that, Stacey.
I don't know if it's a problem or not. Okay, hold on a second.
All right, Stacey, while he is doing that, let me just say, you know, we sent out an email blast to everybody
Morgan.
That is in our email list and today, telling them that if they buy five of our workbooks, they're going to get a free leader's guide to go with it. And that went out to everybody that's on our email list, everybody that's in my LinkedIn list, and everybody that's on my Google account. So that's quite a few people. And we're doing it for Shelter for the Storm, the codependency book, the chemical dependency book, and for the breaking, what's the title of that book? I forgot it.
Breaking the Cycle of Hurtful Family Relationships and Untangling Relationships. They're all codependency books.
All of those books. If somebody, and we have we're having a lot of new customers. That are people that have little small groups that they're doing things with, and this is just such a help to these people. And you know, we've got the leader's guide for, you know, if they want to do that, and they can go to www.mcgeeandme.net. And so, you know,
McGee and Me is spelled out.
Yeah, that's right. We were just put on hold by McGee, and I'm me.
Yeah, now you're all alone.
At least
yeah.
Most of the time I am. All right, are you back, Robert?
Yeah, I'm back.
Go ahead.
Well, one of the things, if they talk to Stacy might be able to do is send them a little step or two so they can sort of see. This stuff is really pretty good stuff, right? And, you know, that's one thought. Yeah.
And Robert, to our Facebook page and see countless little devotionals and little excerpts from some of our books.
Yeah,
that's right. If they search for it's the Search for Significance fan page, and it's full. I mean, it is chock full of little vignettes, beautiful photographs, and links that will take you to the resources. But, you know, they're very bite-sized, something that you can read in, 10, 15, 20 seconds. So that, a lot of people go there in the day to get just a little bit of encouragement, and it's there. And it is full of these things. We're putting up a couple of posts a day, so there's got to be at least a couple of hundred of them up there already. Anyway, go ahead, Robert. We're done with our commercial. So go ahead and let's get back to reality.
This is good. The thing about it is, I think when all we see is this world and we don't spend time with the Lord, which is pretty typical of most Christians, we get really addicted to things in this, and we get really concerned about, how is this going to work out? When the hope, there's only one thing that God says we should be in fear of, right? And he said, and that's sort of an unusual thing for him to do, to tell us to be in fear of something, right? Mm-hmm. And that is that we miss the rest, right? That we, in our life, we go through this, but we miss experiencing resting in Him. So, I was headed back to Texas from Florida, and there's this real long bridge going into Mississippi, and it's got swamp on on both sides. And I've been having problems with my eyes, and they didn't focus clearly enough on my dashboard to notice that there was a amber light going on by where my fuel consumption was. So I got just over the end of that bridge, maybe 200 or 300 yards. And all of a sudden, I noticed my engine decided not to run anymore. I'm going, huh. And so I was able to, because I was off the bridge, I was able to pull over enough to be on the side. Then I could focus and I say, uh-oh, I don't have any gas in this car. Right? And so here I am, literally in the middle of nowhere. Right? And I look up in front of me, and about 2 or 3 miles ahead of me is a gas station. Now, I wasn't looking forward to hobbling my way to that gas station, but when you're in that predicament, you look for a second choice, and when there isn't any, you take the first choice. All right? So I get out of the car and I start walking. All right? And in a very few minutes, this car comes beside me and then comes and is off the road in front of me and waiting on me. In fact, starting to back up so I don't have to walk so far. So I get up there and it's a young woman who, I don't know, she's probably around 30, something like that. And she had stopped to help me out. And she took me down to the gas station. I bought a little gas can and she helped me get a gallon of gas. Then she took me back to the car, right? So there I was, and I know some of our listeners are in this kind of situation. You're out there, and you don't see anything that's going to help you. Right? There's just nothing there. And you want to just sort of, be bad about it. And that just uses up a little bit more energy than you really ever had. So I get to, first of all, when I get in the car, I said, I'm very thankful you did this, but never do it again. I am harmless, but I may be one of the few that are on this road as harmless as I am right now. So it shows you that God had this woman leave. She was headed someplace. I forgot where she was headed. I gave her our 800 number and told her to call Stacy, and Stacy would help her with some books for free. She wouldn't take any money from me. But think about the fact that God had her get on the road going someplace. I'm not really sure where she was going. But she came right by when I needed some help. And she did something which I really didn't encourage her to ever do again, and that is stop and give me a lift. I mean, I wasn't waving at people to stop. I didn't think anybody would stop. And here's this woman do it. And so that's sort of a sign that when things look like, oh, man, can this get any worse? Oh, it just did. That you just keep moving forward and you look to see what God has made available to you. Now, I get to Houston. And
before you say that about Houston, let me just say this.
Yeah?
That's a really good message. If you got no choice, you just go forward expecting God to take care of the situation, and he will. You just got no choice, move forward. When you have no choice, move forward. If you just sit and wallow in self-pity, nothing's going to get done. That's straight downhill. I mean,
well,
you know, the object
of being mad about it or thinking that, you know, are being mad about it or thinking God somehow let you down. I mean, I don't know what God had in mind. I mean, I got to talk to this woman a little bit. And I told her what I did, and I encouraged her some. And I have no idea where she is. I mean, I don't have any idea what. I didn't think it was appropriate for me to even ask her for her name because I didn't want her doing this again. Picking up.
We just had Palm Sunday 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
The Lord sent someone into town and said, "Get an ass, and when if they ask you while you're taking it, say, the Lord has need of it, and that's it." So this is just a very similar kind of situation at an appropriate time, and that's exactly, the Lord had need of her, and for your betterment, and, you know, it was an important thing to happen, and you're an important man, and you're a favorite man by God. So all true.
Yeah, well, the story doesn't end there on the bridge, on the other side of the bridge. So I have self-diagnosed myself medically as having the flu. I felt like I had the flu. But I had an appointment in Houston, and I was just determined to make it there. So I get all the way to Houston, and I have a little bit of a treatment for my diabetes, which is another story. But then the next day, I meet with my friend, and I go back to the hotel. And now my son, where I'm staying here in Dallas, has been calling me, you know. And I don't sound real good on the phone. And I said, oh, no, I got the flu. I'll just wear this thing out. I'll get over it. And his wife said, no, you tell him to get to the hospital. I said, okay, if I don't get any better. She said, no. So he calls me back and says, I am sending a cat for you. I've already paid for it, and he knows me well enough that I wouldn't waste that money on this deal. And see, I have access to VA hospitals because I'm like 40% disabled and blah 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 blah. Right. So I get downstairs. I get in this cab. They take me over to VA hospital. I walk into the emergency room. They take me into the emergency room and then put me on a medical emergency floor and put like four IVs in me to hydrate me again. I didn't have the flu. I had what's known as acidosis, which is one of the things that kills diabetics, right? And I was pretty close, right? And then I got to, no. All right? I mean, it would have been okay for me to go see the Lord, but he wasn't through with me doing stuff here. So
we
I
have an
there.
Example of on the bridge, this woman listening to the Lord, and we have the alternative example of you not willing to listen to anybody. And
well,
finally, somebody
says,
you're going to listen because we're going to send the thing, period. You just do what you're told. I love this story, Robert.
I was sort of getting there because I'd gotten up twice at night and almost passed out both times, fell down on the way to the bathroom. And I knew after the second time I fell down and skinned my knee that it was probably time to quit this self-medication, self-diagnosis thing. What I found out was my insulin had gone bad, and so my blood sugars were like over 600, which is just, I mean, they when your blood sugar is over 600, they can tap you for syrup, I think. But I get to the hospital, and it's really interesting.
Like for pancakes, for Bubba Watson when he was there, or the waffle at Waffle
at the
House after winning
the
Masters.
So I get to the, and it's very interesting. Now, this is a straight up, this is a big VA hospital in Houston, and I'm on what they call the medical intensive care unit, right? It just so happens the whole floor is a bunch of Christians, and they're playing gospel music in the background. I mean, I don't know how they get away with it, but it's just the way it was, you know, and just lovely, lovely people. And I was there for about 5 days, and then I came out, and I rested the day, and I said, no, it's time to come back up here to Dallas. Now, when I was running blood sugars that high, it really affects your eyesight. So I couldn't read the blooming highway signs coming up here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but
I've done this trip. Where did you head to? So instead of coming up 35, what'd you do?
No, I came up 35. I came all the way in. But usually I get off of 35 and take that, I think it's Highway 20. It's that outer loop. And pick up a road that takes me up here to Flower Mound because I don't like the traffic. And I really didn't like it. But I was talking to my son trying to figure out what, because I couldn't tell what the signs were saying. It didn't matter how big they were. I could not possibly read the signs, right? So I was trying to tell him some of the landmarks I was going by. And he was very happy with me during this time. But, you know, he hung in there with me. And when I got here, I said, okay, enough of this joy. I'm not getting back in this car until at least I can read the, you know, medium highway signs, all right? And so my eyesight's getting better, and my health is much, 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 much better, and I'm going to be okay. And I go for treatment tomorrow, and I have felt better than I have in a very, very long time.
That's an excellent end of that good story. Now, so when you get the treatment, you're talking about going back to Houston again, or are you staying in Dallas?
There's a clinic up here that I can do treatments with.
Wonderful.
So I don't
Goodness
know.
Gracious. What a sojourn here. You know, I'm very grateful that woman in outside of Mobile, I guess it was outside of Mississippi going to Louisiana or Alabama going to Mississippi.
Florida going to, I think the first big town there is Mobile. And what makes
I know that bridge. It's a beautiful bridge.
A bit worse was I got to this hotel and I go, I'm not gonna stay here and rest because I figured got the flu, got the rest, okay? Except for the fact that it didn't matter how much water I drank, I was still miserable, right? And then I couldn't find my glasses, right? Well, if your eyes are swollen anyway from this hyper high glucose level, not having your glasses sort of gets you a double whammy. But I didn't feel good enough to go, so I just said, God will show me where they are when it's time. Right? And that's the other thing that I've sort of learned over my years is that if God hasn't shown you what you should do, just be comfortable with him and trust him. It's sort of like watching. Sometimes we're like kids. You know, you watch a kid who wants something, you know, you're at a store or whatever, and once they get an idea that they want a certain thing, they can't leave it alone, right? And they just bug the parent and bug the parent. And I've sort of learned that, well, okay, now what do we do, right? I've had this business deal that's supposed to have happened, weeks and weeks ago. Only problem is one of the people that are supposed to make it happen is a congenital liar. I mean, I've never seen anybody lie as easy as this guy has. It's just an amazing thing to sort of watch. And, you know, everybody's just jumping up and down about the whole thing. And I'm going, well, something's going to happen. And sure enough, I mean, he's almost become hysterical. He has told my lawyer friend that he is sending the money from Houston to Atlanta, and I said, I'm sending a carrier. You'll be there. I mean, this is not like it'll be there in a few days. It'll be there in a few hours. And my lawyer friend finally decided, I'm not going to go out to that. There's a little, I guess, a Decatur airport, small airport up there.
Right.
And he said, I'm not going to go out there again until the problem with this guy that's sort of waffling around, he doesn't have any choice but to pay. But he doesn't have the money, and he just thinks he can lie his way through it. And so we've just, one of the things you do with people who are deceitful is you give them a little bit of rope. And if they use that, you give them a little bit more. And pretty soon they've got themselves so twisted on a knot. So many times what we do is and I don't know what this has to do with beans, but sometimes what we do is when somebody really lies, their mouth moves, you know they're lying, et cetera, we want just to beat them up. And in fact, sometimes what you do is you just give them more and more rope and watch them twist in the wind. And it may not work out for you, but once you have sort of disengaged yourself from having to have them come through, it can be a little bit amusing to watch these people operate. Probably not amusing to a lot of people, but it was sort of amusing to me. I really felt that God was going to come through. In fact, I had this sort of this picture of how it was going to happen, and it didn't happen that way. Now, I had this idea of what was going to happen. For the last 4 or 5 years, Jack, you know some of the optimism I've expressed, and so when this guy, I mean, I just watched him flop around, and when I went into this sequence of in my life, I asked God, I said, Lord, I really do want to have faith through this. I mean, that's one thing. I mean, because I've done that routine where I tell people I got faith, I believe, I believe, I believe. And then you're like this poor woman who's walking out of VA, and she's carrying two heavy sex with her. I don't know what we're doing. And she was obviously a believer because she was talking to God. And she was saying, have the bus there. The bus is going to be there. The bus is going to be there. I know the bus is going to be there. The bus is going to be there. The bus is going to be there. I know the bus is going to be there. And I'm sort of trailing behind her going, I wonder how this one's going to work out. And sure enough, she got out there, and there was no blooming bus there. But she was going to be okay, right? She was praising God as she was going. But you know, there are a lot of believers think, if I say this enough times, then it's going to happen. Well,
you know, we want to talk a lot more about that particular subject and about believers with their, you know, with people that are deceitful. But we got to run because we're actually in overtime now. So let me just say thank you, Robert. We want the end of this story next week, and thank you, Stacy,
okay.
And God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night, everybody.
Good night.